Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. I am Tim. I serve here as the pastor. It's my pleasure to be able to serve this community. Today, we have our Good Friday service. This might be a little different than how you've had it in the past, but what we're going to do is we will sing some of the classic hymns together. We will read together through the story right from the Bible, and then we will have communion. If you are interested in communion today and you don't want to take from kind of the collective trays, just know we do have prepackaged elements just at the back on the way in at the information desk. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are a God who comes near. We thank you that you are a God who comes near in the pain, in the mess, and in the hurt, and still somehow brings new hope in those places. Guide us in your new hope and your love as we remember this dark day today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able for the first song as we sing on Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. That'll be 156 in the hymnal. Please be seated, and I will be doing our first reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. If you want to follow along at all, we do have some Bibles in the pews in front of you. We have it listed what all the readings will be, so you can cheat and get there first and raise your Bible and check with your neighbor who's the fastest. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Now the feast of the unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present.
"'Tis midnight, and on Olive's brow. If you have the hymn book, it's 161. It'll on the screen as well.
Matthew 26, 20 to 35. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same.
Our next hymn, "Go to Dark Gethsemane," invites us also to go there and learn to pray.
Matthew 26, 47 to 56. While he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward. Seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," said Jesus to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have to come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
Continuing the same passage, those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priests tore their clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spat in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you?" We'll continue singing the next two verses of that hymn, "Go to the Dark Gethsemane." The verse 2 invites us to learn how to bear the cross, which is coming up in the story, and to learn how to die.
Matthew 27, verses 1 and 2, and Matthew 27, verses 11 to 26. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor.
Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd.
At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked him, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that this was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
The next hymn asks the question, "Did he die for me? And what is my responsibility? Was it for crimes that I have done?"
Luke 23:32-43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood there watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly for what we are getting, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him,
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Luke chapter 23, verse 44 to 49. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun had stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things.
Man of Sorrows, what a name.
Thank you.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 50 to 56.
Now there is a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God.
Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb, cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid.
It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
Isaiah 53, verses 2 to 6. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
This final hymn before the communion service invites us to reflect back on this entire story. When I survey the wondrous cross, what is our response? And that's what this hymn is about.
Invite our servers to please come forward. Communion, as we remember it in this way, harkens back to the Thursday. So instead of staying up late last night, we thought we'd let you sleep in and come and enjoy this now. For on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he met with his friends. Friends who would abandon him. Friends who would deny knowing him. Friends who would doubt, and even a friend who would sell him out for a little bit of money. And he invited them all to his table. He will wash their feet and serve them. On the night of his last meal on earth, he chose to be with those people. People like us. So friends, I will give instructions as we go through this together. But if you are here and you are willing, you are welcome to participate and take along with us. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. Should I get the right one? He broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Every time you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." I'll pray and then our servers will go and pass this out to you. Please hold on to the bread and we will take it together. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you continue to be near those who are also broken. Thank you, Lord, that you were broken for us, for a purpose. As we remember you, we pray that we would be even more aware that you are present right here with us. May we experience your love as we do this together as a community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat. In the same way, Jesus also took the cup and he poured it out, saying, "This is my blood poured out for the new covenant, for the new way of living that I am ushering in. Every time you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." I'll have our servers serve you. You can take it as it goes by. We ask that as you pass the tray, that you would look your neighbor in the eye and nod toward them, acknowledging that we are all God's people here, made in the image of God, experiencing this together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are present with us as we take this cup. Lord, we know that this was not an easy decision for you. Jesus, we know you prayed that this cup would be passed from you, yet you took it willingly for our sake. May we experience your love and new life as we take this together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please stand as you're able. May the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup keep, sustain, and invigorate your faith from now into the life everlasting. Amen. And now we will sing together The Old Rugged Cross. Thank you. Friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May you feel that God is near even in the midst of the darkness and silence. In a world of power that looked like it had overcome, Jesus loved anyway, and love found a way. Go in God's love. Amen.